apparently God believes you need a double dose today of coming out of sin. Because Mr. Cagle's message and my message are just hand in hand. So you're going to see a lot of similarity there. He's got 5 points. Thankfully for you, I've only got 2 points. So, what today is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Tomorrow, and even tonight, if you choose to, we can go back to physically eating what we've put aside, what we've restricted ourselves, what we've shunned these past 7 days. And some of you may go out tonight after sunset and eat something that you've been wanting really bad. Because of this festival, we have refused bread made with leaven because Scripture has told us to do so. The world thinks we're a little crazy doing this, but we're following Scripture. We can point to Scriptures that demonstrate why for these last 7 days we've done what we've done. And we've done it for very important symbolic and spiritual reasons. There's a lesson in it. Every year we go over this lesson again and again. And God repeats these things. It's on the calendar for us to do repetitively. Tomorrow, we can go eat a regular old biscuit if we want to. A donut. Eat pizza. Or some good old soft bread. God has given us this seven-day feast with physical restrictions on us in hopes of producing spiritual growth in all of us. So he's restricted us somewhat in hopes that we will expand in abundance our spiritual understanding and knowledge. We all understand these days and their connection to spiritual sin, prompting us each day as we refuse leavened bread to remove spiritual sin, to prevent sin in our lives. And even though we can physically go eat a biscuit, a regular biscuit tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow, we have no permission to break God's spiritual law tomorrow. See, that's intact. Physically, we have to keep God's law day after day. And so the spirit of this feast lives on after today. Even though it's the last day, spiritually we continue it on. We continue to refuse the leaven of sin in our lives. The feast will physically end this evening. We are spiritually unleavened and should be unleavened all year long. The question is, how do we live all year long without the leaven of sin in our lives? And earlier, Mr. Cagle gave you a 5-point plan. Beautiful plan. Well, I want to talk along these same lines today about living a godly life, about not eating the leaven of sin throughout the year. How do you and I go about preventing sin? Preventing the leaven of sin from being symbolically stored up in our cupboards, even after this day. Stored up in our pantries. And even spiritual leaven being consumed on our dinner plates as the weeks go by ahead of us? How do we prevent that? Again, we may go out and eat a biscuit tomorrow, but God forbid if we stumble and consume a spiritual biscuit full of leavening and sin tomorrow. We have to remember these days and their meaning. How do we prevent that from happening? What are some simple steps to help us not to have sin in our lives? I've entitled my message, Two Steps to Preventing Sin. Two Steps to Preventing Sin. Now let's begin with a teaching lesson from Jesus Christ. It seems that Christ at times played some mind games with his disciples. He knew they couldn't understand certain things of a spiritual depth. So he would say things and use metaphors and so forth to prompt them to give them a teaching lesson later on. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. Here's a good example of a case like this. Christ playing mind games with his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, that is, understanding their weakness to comprehend the spiritual lesson that he was about to present, this issue of bread, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I speak not to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Verse 12, then they understood. Then it kind of dawned on them that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, physical bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching, Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, the religious leaders of the people of that day were simply wrong in many of their teachings and actions and attitudes. They were a poor example for the people. You don't need to turn there, but in Luke 12, verse 1, this same incident is recorded, and Jesus spoke, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Hypocrisy. The Pharisees is a group of men ruling over the people. Were a group of men very insincere in their lives. They were two-faced. They were deceitful. And they pretended to have a lot of virtues, a lot of beliefs that they really didn't possess. They were kind of a fake. Hypocritical. Bottom line, these religious leaders, as a group, there could have been individuals, not so much that so, but as a group, they were very sinful and they had leaven in their lives, and Jesus Christ saw that And he used it as a teaching lesson for his disciples. Now, as God's people today, we can't, of course, be like the Pharisees. We have to be unleavened, and sincere in our lives. It reminds us sincerity. Reminds me and probably you of the scripture that Paul quoted or wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We read it throughout the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. One of the key elements of being truly unleavened is being sincere. Being sincere. If we're not sincere and truthful with at least each other, all of us in this room, we've got leaven in our lives. And we need to see it, and we need to root it out. You know, we need to be truly connected to one another and sincere. And not be hypocritical. And don't be two-faced and say this, that you're really this other person. You can't be that way. All of us need help in overcoming. That's just one little aspect of being unleavened. So let's discuss now two steps of preventing sin, preventing hypocrisy, preventing insincerity in our lives. Step number one. Keep the environment clean. Keep the environment clean. What do I mean by that? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 19. The very first part of this verse is my focus. We'll actually come back to it later. Exodus 12:19, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Let's stop right there. Let's stop. Now, we did this physically over a week ago. One of the main components of this festival is that we clean and rid our houses, our homes, of physical leaven. And some of us start early in that, before the days are even there. Though we clean up our home environment, don't we? Our property, our cars. We remove all of the food items and agents that possess leavening, because to keep those leavened items close to us, in the cupboards, where they usually are, even like that good old soft-tasting loaf of bread. If we kept that there, which God says don't, it might tempt us to eat it during these days if we became very, very hungry. We might break down. We'll see, we've got a two-step process during these days. The first step is to clean out the environment. We don't want to transgress God's laws during these days. And then the spirit of it moves on for the rest of the year. Even after these 7 days, we need to spiritually keep our homes clean. You see, the spiritual cleaning of our homes is much more important than the physical cleaning of leavening out of our homes. See, the physical leavening, that's just a symbol. And anyone can see that. But our job is to get into the spiritual cleaning of our homes. We need to live in a safe and wholesome environment throughout the year. A clean and spiritually unleavened home is the first step. The first step in preventing sin and living a righteous life before God. Our home is our safe haven. It's where we can come and be away from the world. And we can then connect to God much easier than being out in the world. Our homes, our cars, our property somewhat present our purity to God, what we are to God. God can look into our homes, look into our property, and see a reflection of ourselves. Does he see wholesomeness, cleanness? Does he see sincerity? God can see whether we're a little hypocritical. Oh, yes, we may go to church every Sabbath and we say these words, but inside our home, do we represent that to God and others? You understand what I'm getting at here? I'm speaking spiritually, but I'm also speaking a little physically too. If someone, let's say, if someone took a tour of our homes, your home, my home, walking through each room, searching the closets, the bookshelves, the cabinets, going out into the garage, up into the attic, every little nook and cranny, with the sin of leaven, spiritually speaking, be found by an outsider looking in? Would there be any questionable things discovered that we ourselves have overlooked in our lives, in our homes, that could eventually lead us down a wrong path? Revealing an insincere Christian life. Would there be any magazines, any movies, any books, any music videos or pictures or whatever that would fall outside of being morally and family friendly? Is our home environment truly wholesome to children, to any and all? Now, I know that some of these things, and I'm not going into specifics, but some of these things may be subject to debate. And we have the freedom to bring into our homes what we want. I'll speak on that shortly. But I hope you get my main point here. We need to have a clean environment to help prevent sin in our lives. We need some place to go where there's no temptation to do wrong. Again, I'm talking about keeping our homes holy and clean with any leaven of sin that might tempt us to go down a wrong path. And further, I think we need to analyze the fruit, maybe, and value of certain, let's just say, cable and satellite channels that we pipe into our living room. You know, that's one of our chief environments, the living room, the family. Or maybe it's just ourselves, one of us. And we pipe these things right into our environment. Should any of these channels be filtered with parental controls if we have children? Should they be filtered with parental controls even if we don't have children? Do we need to watch all of those channels? Do we block them off of our remotes? See, we're talking about cleaning up our environment. We've gotten the leavened bread out. But what are we bringing into our homes that could still get us off track a little bit? You have to make that decision. I'm not going to tell you what your environment should be. And of major, even more concern today, are our home computers and pads and smartphones that we have connected to the internet. Do they have good filters on them to block inappropriate, unredeeming content that none of us should be watching? And it's pretty easy to stumble into that without a filter, without a block. And if we don't have a filter, why don't we? The only reason is because we may not technically know how to set it up. Because many are free. Many are free. We need to protect and filter ourselves just as much as we try to protect our children and grandchildren. Something to think about. We're in the days of unleavened bread. We cleaned it out of our homes. Are we really providing a clean environment for ourselves throughout the year? A week ago, we patted ourselves on the back for obeying God. You know, getting, again, those physical crumbs of leaven out of our homes. Yet have we really done what God wants us to do ultimately, beyond those crumbs? Cleaning up any insincerity, any spiritual sin that might be in our homes. We need to sin-proof our homes so we can live a holy and righteous life before God. You know, when we have children, we child-proof our homes. We don't want them to get into a cabinet where there's dangerous chemicals. We need to sin-proof our homes so that it's just not there. It's just not there to even bother us. Because there is danger out there. There's danger. The value systems of this world are rapidly going down, down, down. Today, everybody justifies everything they do as being okay. Hey, this is okay. And they want you and they want me to accept that as okay too. So that's one of the big problems we have today, is that the sinners of this world, and God would call them sinners, they want to be accepted for their lifestyle, no matter what it is. And they want us to accept that lifestyle too. And if we don't, then that creates issues. You know, we're the bad guy. Those who want to follow God's words are haters then and bad people because we don't accept them. We don't love them. Silliness. You know, this world is led by the great deceiver, Satan the devil. And he wants to bring all types of leavened garbage into our environment. Environments, plural, at home, at work, at school. There's garbage in school. And God is testing and letting us, His chosen, decide how much of that garbage we will allow in our Christian lives. Hey, I'm preaching to me. You're just here listening. you're just listening to my sermon to myself. But God does test us, and He does let us. We have the free will to do as we want. We can be totally insincere as a Christian, but we won't last very long if we are. You know, the internet presents a great dichotomy to us. It allows us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to every corner of this dying and desperate world. And yet it can also become a source of leaven and uncleanness in our lives. We have to be careful. I love the internet and its ability to search and to research and to... I use the internet to put messages together. But I also understand that it, you know, has its bad side. There is a dark side to the internet. And we have to take action. You know, we have to be active in putting the leaven of sin out of our environment. And of course, some of us live in households with mates that don't believe the same as we do. And so you have a little extra issue there. You have to use wisdom in cleaning your environments with another person there that may not share the same thing. But we at least try to do the best we can in keeping our environments clean. It's the first step in preventing sin in our lives. Step number two in preventing sin, consume only what is holy. Consume only what is holy. What do I mean by that? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 19. We were there earlier. Now we'll finish out that verse. We'll finish out Exodus 12, verse 19. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses or environments. Since whoever digests what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. To physically eat leaven during these 7 days carried a very severe punishment upon ancient Israel. One would be cut off or separated from the tribes. To eat and consume leaven was a major sin towards God. It pictured going a different path away from God. It pictured worshiping a different God. It pictured being against God's law. See, to eat that leaven was the very opposite of God's instruction. For us today, to eat the leaven of spiritual sin and it not be forgiven us by God assigns us the penalty of eternal death. So is the parallel of leaven. True spiritual sin is a serious subject. But we do have a God that forgives. And we seek that forgiveness so we can avoid the punishment of eternal death. All of us in the past, maybe even some this festival. I know my wife did. She's not with me today. She's just not feeling very well. Didn't feel like the drive. She confessed that she messed up. She ate some leaven. We've all done that. We've all slipped. And we've eaten physical leaven during these days. But there's a lesson in that. It's not always easy to remember to avoid our routines, our eating habits, and particularly leaven during these days. It takes focus. It takes commitment to recognize, first of all, what sin is, and then to avoid it in our lives. You know, our Christian journey is not always easy and pleasant. We say that over and over. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 14, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, life eternal. And there are few who find it." Not many, not multiple hundreds of millions, but the few. Now hopefully you and I are part of the few. I look to you as brothers and sisters that we are following, you know, going through this narrow gate together. And we're walking this difficult way together. You know, God wants us to resist eating the sin of leaven and internalize, digest only that which is holy and good. You know, actually committing sin is a step beyond cleaning our environment. We clean our environment to prevent sin. We also have to become very focused on what sin is so we can avoid it. We live in a world that eats and consumes any and everything. You know, out here, they're eating everything. And I'm talking spiritually. You see, they're consuming thoughts and actions and deeds, very contrary to God's way of life. We have to be careful and walk the straight and the narrow and ask ourselves if leaven is in this or in that. I'm talking about beyond this week. I'm talking about every minute of every day, going out, facing the world. Is this action? Is this whatever? Is there sin in it? Or is it okay? Does it break God's law? Does it not? We have to be constantly thinking and analyzing that throughout our lives. All of us need God in examining our lives. You know, we can't do this on our own. We cannot. God helps us to recognize and to identify the sin that we don't always readily see in our lives. And there's great lessons in when we stumble and eat some leavening during these past 7 days. Wow, we do that with real sin too. And hopefully we wake up quickly when we do that. Now some may be bold enough to say they have no sin, you know, that they never eat what is leavened, that they have all knowledge and they just, boy, they just got it perfect. Well, the Apostle John counters that. He gives us the straight truth on that. And of all the scriptures in the Bible today, Mr. Cagle and I, we've got the same one. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So don't come around me saying that you're leading a perfect life. Because I'm going to quote this scripture back to you. if we confess our sins, He, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So, don't say you're perfect. We're far from it. We're learning more and more as the years go by. You know, as long as we are human and carnal, we need God's help in consuming only what is holy and spiritually clean. Sin can be very deceptive and very hard to see at times. There's not a red light flashing all the time saying stay away. Sin can be well hidden also in those tight little corners of our lives that we just don't like to go into. You know, way down deep inside a little corner inside our life. Because to go there, when we see it and recognize it and go down there, it forces us to think about taking some action. Action to repent, to change, to bend over, and take effort to sweep that out, which is not easy to do sometimes. Some sins take the form of baking powder, hiding themselves very easy in a mixing bowl full of otherwise good ingredients. It's there. It's in there. It's in the mix, but it's very hard to see. It kind of blends in with everything else. Only the baking process reveals it when it gets cooked and it gets puffed up. And we know there was sin there. And some sin is so deceiving. Spiritual sin, real sin, is so deceiving that its negative effect, its penalty, sin always carries a penalty. That penalty takes a long time to be seen, maybe years before it eventually rises up to be seen, but it always will eventually be seen. You know, some sin likes to hide behind fancy names, masquerading its true self, what it really is. And somewhat sadly, many companies today have gotten away from using these generic terms of like yeast or leavening on the packages. And they've started using the full chemical name of leavening agents. Now, what would we do if we found a food ingredient on a package of bread that read sodium aluminum phosphate? Sodium aluminum phosphate. Would we ignore it during these days since we don't know what it is? It's just a chemical. It doesn't sound like sin. And bread has a lot of stuff in it these days. Or do we search the scriptures? Do we search the references where we can go that can tell us what is this chemical? And indeed, sodium aluminum phosphate is a leavening agent. So to prevent sin in our lives, we have to be observant, don't we? We have to come to know what sin is and where it is. Sin likes to hide again in all those different quarters of our lives. our entertainment life, our work life, our school life, our shopping life, our hobbies, especially our vanity, our life of vanity. You know, we all have vanity. I suppose as you grow older, you start losing some of it. But it's not totally gone, even if you age. You know, sin wants to be consumed and eaten quickly before we have time to think about it and analyze its value and the cleanliness that it's bringing to us. You see, it wants us to take quick action. And sometimes we need to slow down before we make some decisions on all of these different areas of life. And really analyze the consequences of bringing this into our environment. You know, to prevent sin, to sift the sin of leaven, we have to stay close to God. We have to be in harmony with the Spirit of God and the Word of Truth. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the Word of Truth. But, verse 16, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, to more sin. Now, the world today is full of profane and idle babblings. And they want to be eaten by us. The world lays them out there for us to see, to entice us, to eat. Yet God wants us to eat only unleavened bread, that which is holy and clean. In a way, it's similar to eating only clean animals, isn't it, that God has set apart. We spiritually separate ourselves from this world and show our submission to God by consuming only which is clean and holy. So we only eat certain animals throughout the whole year. God uses food to get across spiritual lessons. We belong to a holy God, and He doesn't want us to be unclean in our thoughts, in our actions, even the food we eat. He wants us to be unleavened all the time. Now, from John chapter 6, we know that our main course of nourishment, what we feast on the most, must be the true bread of life, Jesus Christ. I won't quote that scripture. I think we have read it this past week. To feed on Him, to feed on Christ, brings us the promise of life eternal. To consume what the world has for us will give us eternal death. But to consume and feed and digest the bread of life will bring us life eternal. Consuming Him, Christ, submitting to Him, keeps us holy and without sin. So in conclusion, on this last day of unleavened bread, let's remember the two steps I've given to help prevent sin for the rest of the year. Pass this every week. Let's keep our environments clean. Analyze what's in our homes, in our environments at work, wherever. Keep our environments clean. And let's consume only what is holy. Unleavened bread, not consuming sin. Let's safeguard our homes from the leaven of this world. And let's be careful what we digest on a daily basis. Every day we have decisions to make. We decide what we eat. Well, spiritually, let's think along those same ways. Let's decide what we digest spiritually, what we watch, what we read, what we allow ourselves to do. We need to keep the spirit of this feast alive week after week. Let's live a clean and godly life by feasting on the true unleavened bread of life, Jesus Christ.